top headlines.
Red Sox start playing actual baseball today down in Fort Myers as the Sox play both Northeastern and Boston College. Meanwhile, J.D. Martinez had his physical yesterday. He will reportedly hold a press conference today. John Heyman reporting that Martinez has a limited no-trade clause as part of his new deal. Celtics back at practice last night. They had a medically cleared Marcus Smart practicing for the first time since his hotel room incident. Smart had some interesting things to say about that injury. You'll hear all about it in a couple of minutes. In other NBA news, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Kawhi Leonard has been medically cleared to return, but so far has decided not to play for the Spurs. Spurs head coach Greg Popovich told reporters yesterday that he'd be surprised if Leonard returned this season. Bruins remain off tonight and tomorrow as they continue their five-game road trip in Toronto on Saturday night. Meanwhile, according to Pierre LeBrun, the Bruins remain in the mix for Ryan McDonagh, but the price needs to drop. Drew Brees and the Saints will reportedly meet to talk about a new contract at the Combine next week. And finally, the USA women's hockey team won their first gold medal in 20 years, beating Canada in a shootout 3-2 in men's curling. Beetle, you like men's curling? You all in?
Haven't seen much of it yet, these Olympics.
Ah, well.
What's going on there?
A big moment for USA men's curling. They beat Canada this morning to earn their first shot at Olympic gold. Get ready for that. Headlines are brought to you by the Pride Motor Group, Washington's birthday sales event, presidential savings on all Chevy, Hyundai, and Kias on the Linway in Lynn, or visit PrideMotorGroup.com. I'm Nick Cattles, X Headlines coming up at 11:30.
Zolak and Bertrand,
while you work.
Pretty much guarantee a two-year deal for Brady.
You expect us to believe that?
Adam Jones
wraps up the day.
And he scores.
I mean, you're talking about dominant run.
98.5, the Sports Hub. They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They pulled a glass piece out of the palm of my hand about that size. And they said there was two tendons that ran along the pinky area, the main tendons, and literally the glass was sitting right in between them. So they're like, you know, you should apply to play the lottery or something because, you know, you missed your tendons. And they don't understand it. They don't really see how, you know. So, you know, I thank God for that every day. And, it could have been worse. I'm glad it's not, and I'm glad to be.
So if it hit the tendons, did they tell you what would have happened?
I probably would have to have surgery, and like, I would have been done for you.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Roach, Nick Cattles. That was Marcus Smart last night, speaking at Celtics practice, talking about how that piece of glass, the shard of glass that went into his hand that doctors had to pull out, was wedged between two tendons. And he's very lucky that it did not cut either of the two tendons, because if it did, he would have been done for the year with season-ending surgery. That's how bad this injury was. In fact, I don't think that the Celtics or Marcus Smart are letting on to how bad the injury really was, even without the injury to either of those two tendons. This was obviously something that was really dumb on his part. He's thanking God for the glass not going into his tendons. Next time I would not ask God for the help and just not punch the picture on the wall.
Yeah,
I would do.
Try not to get mad about a woman's social media post to the point where you're punching a picture frame in the hotel. And if he doesn't get it now, he'll never get it. If you are centimeters away from your season ending because of reacting the way he did in that hotel room, if he doesn't get it after this incident, I don't know if he ever will. Centimeters. He was lucky. This is his shot at, yes, it's restricted free agency, but this is his shot to go out there and say, pay me all the money. Pay me the money that I deserve, because I not only get it on the floor, but I get it off the floor. And he has already hurt his value big time because of this, which I think could be good news for the Celtics. But man, oh man, you think about how stupid that was and the way this team has kind of fallen back defensively. He cost his team. There's no doubt. He's not the one major difference. I don't think he's the difference between, you know, them giving up 90 points versus 129 against the Clippers. But they need him. They need his versatility. They need his defensive responsibility, the way he can switch. They need that as part of this team. That is a major part of the fabric, the DNA of the Celtics, is Smart and his defense and the Tony sets. And he hurt his team by doing something stupid. And he's fortunate, the Celtics are fortunate, that it wasn't worse.
And granted, it's not on the floor when it happened, but it maybe in my mind, and maybe I'm way off here, but It's kind of comparable to Brad Marchand and how important he is to the Boston Bruins. Just the way that he plays the game, is he's that tough guy, you know, the instigator and everything else. Marcus Smart brings that off the bench, and he brings that mentality. And at some point, you know, they've sat down Marchand and said, listen, you're costing your team a lot of games here and possibly some wins because of the fact that you can't control yourself. And it's kind of like that, but off the court for Marcus Smart. Like, listen, you're an important part of this team. And yes, you're not the difference in defense between 90 and 129, but you bring that mentality that we need. We can't afford to lose you for something stupid that you're going to do off the court. Like, you just can't. You got to grow up, basically, at some time. Same with Marchand, grow up on the ice. Same with Smart, grow up off the court and become a better basketball player because you're hurting your team.
Okay, now when it comes to both of these guys, I think that because of the things that happen, whether it be, you know, cheap shots and dirty play by Marchand or something stupid off the court by Marcus Smart, I think for both of them, those attributes in their personality do help them when they are playing, when they are contributing. Like Marcus Smart being a hothead helps him on the court. He brings an edge to the Celtics that they've lacked without him. It's just part of the equation for these guys.
But it's that fine
so
line.
You've
yes.
got to try and manage it. I mean, listen, it's not going away. You don't ask someone to completely change their personality because it might change what they are and what they contribute. And the edge that Marcus Smart brings to the Celtics is real. We've seen them. They've looked flat without him at times. And I'm not talking about what he actually brings
right.
defensively and what he actually contributes as a player. I'm just talking about emotion and the way the team carried themselves without him versus when they had him. There's a difference there. And I think the same is true of Brad Marchand. This guy cost himself money. He did.
Oh, yeah.
This guy cost himself a lot of money by doing this. So last night, Dan, you were there. Did you get the sense that Marcus Smart, in his comments, was contrite about it, that he felt bad about it? What do you think the reaction was from him after having that sit-down with Brad Stevens? And Brad talked about that with us yesterday, and his tone was a very serious one, that it was everything you just described. We sat down, we told him, get your head on straight, because we need you. We're not going to sit here and dwell on what's happened, but you better be damn good here down the stretch.
He met with him here recently and just, you know, kind of talked to him about, you know, it is go time. It is not an ideal situation that he put himself through, or how it impacted us. But we need him to be his best version of himself moving forward, and I expect that he will be.
You know, when you listen to how he handled that question,
this is radio,
you were gonna,
right?
You were going to say something. Well, I was waiting for you to say what it was you were going to say before
Mark
we
and
played
I looked
that.
At each other like, "You're supposed to talk."
Yeah, that was a different kind of tone. Different kind of tone from
very
the coach.
Very serious tone.
Yes, and I would say, you know, Beadle, you bring up the tone that Marcus Smart sets. You're exactly right, and a major problem for this team the last couple of weeks, defensively especially, but a major problem is the lack of effort, the lack of multiple efforts, the lack of that energy. You have Tatum and you have Brown dying on screens. You have, you know, guys wide open because of backdoor cuts. Those are things that don't usually happen when Smart is out there because, number one, he gives you that effort, that energy every single possession, and number two, he communicates really well when he's on the floor. He tells his teammates what he's going to do. He tells them what to do. And that has been missing. You can tell me all you want, and I understand how Marcus Smart doesn't shoot the ball well. We all get it. He stinks when it comes to shooting the ball. One of his fatal flaws is shot selection. But that doesn't mean you overlook what he does well. And what he does well is what this team needs right now.
And I think I asked him the question last night, you know, about this incident, when you look back upon it, were you angry, frustrated, disappointed? What was going through your mind? And he said, all of them. And he went on a whole little rant about each and every one of them, about how he felt, and basically said he let his team down. So, again, we don't know. It's like the whole case with Marchand. I mean, we see that fine line. With Smart, you just hope that he has finally learned his lesson and can control himself, again, behind the scenes, as to not hurt his team. Because that's pretty much, I think if you're Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, just sit him down and say, listen, you know, how much do you love your teammates? How much do you love playing for the Celtics? How much do you want to win a championship with this group, these guys, today? Then stop what you're doing. You're hurting everybody else on this team by not being out on the court because of something foolish that you did because you got upset at the team hotel. That lesson, like, it's again, it's like parenting. You know, you can say it till you're blue in the face to your kids, when the moment comes, when there's some issue that comes up, does he have enough control in the mentality to say, I got to stop, step away, everything's fine, and let's go forward?
Probably not.
We don't know.
I'm guessing probably not. Most people don't change. They stay who they are.
Unfortunately, it's true.
Yeah, it's just kind of the way it goes. I don't expect Brad I'm done expecting Brad Marchand to change. I'm done expecting Marcus Smart to change. Probably not going to happen.
Well, I think with Marcus, he's 23. You know, so he's going to be 24 in March.
So you hope.
I do think there's room to grow for him. And it might be as simple as coping strategies, right? Hey, instead of punching a picture frame, find a pillow. Punch the pillow. Yeah. You know, do something. Approach it differently.
Hashtag punch the pillow.
Punch the pillow. Hashtag punch the pillow. I think, you know, Rochie is right. When it comes to guys like Marchand and Smart, you have to expect some of that extracurricular stuff. It is whether or not they can focus on the line and define that line and stay within the parameters and not cross it. Because it's not Marshy doing little cheap stuff. It's Marshy throwing a flying elbow like Macho Man Randy Savage across the crease. That's the problem. It's not Marcus, you know, getting in someone's face and yapping at him and going at it like in D.C. last year. It is punching the wall when you get into the back in the arena in D.C. It's punching the picture frame. It's can you tiptoe near that line without crossing it? That's the question they have to ask themselves, and that's what they got to figure out.
Well, can you guys think of any athletes that it's gone the other way, where they've completely changed? You know, that have been involved in these incidents off the field, on the court, on the field, what have you, where we could sit there and say, remember him when he first got into the league? This, and this. There's got to be some of them out there, right? I just can't think off the top of my head.
There has to be a number of football players that egregiously reacted on the field and did some things that crossed the line. And when all the rule changes happened and they had to change their game, I'm sure a number of them changed their game. Some of them didn't, but they had to.
Well, we see that. Yeah, so like a guy, who's the guy from Cincinnati that he's never going to change?
Vontaze Burfict?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, we see examples of that. Do we have the flip side of that where, you know what, they learned and they're a much better player, they're much more in control of their emotions? I don't know. Maybe our listeners know some of those. I don't know off the top of my head, like, oh, yeah, this guy definitely did and became a better player for years and years and years after.
Dan Roach is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. We're going to talk about the possibility of a big star, Anthony Davis, potentially landing in Boston down the road. That is in the mix. Also, monitoring a situation with the Red Sox, because, Dan, the deal with J.D. Martinez is still not official. And this morning it looked like the concerns about the health were wrapped up, but Evan Drellick had a tweet just a few short minutes ago that says the Red Sox are still reviewing the medicals, and the medical situation is still going on with this guy. So we might have to hit on that later in the hour as well. That's still going on in Fort Myers. It could mean something. It could mean absolutely nothing.
Zolak and Bertrand. It is no longer wise to ignore us. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Still, the questions around Davis swirl. He's signed for 3 more seasons, but at some point, will he ask for a trade? Davis acknowledges he's heard ex-players like Kevin Garnett say they regret not asking to move to a more competitive franchise earlier in their careers.
Yeah, when you hear that, it makes you think. I'm not going to lie, it makes you think. So you wonder if you followed in that same path. But then again, you're like, this year could be the year. Like, you don't know, you know, so you just got to take it year by year and just see, you know, see where the team is going, what direction they want to go to, and just see where they're headed.
Twenty here on Zolak and Bertrand. That's Rachel Nichols and, yes, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis. Could Anthony Davis eventually end up with the Boston Celtics? Especially hearing him respond to the comments about the comments that were made by Kevin Garnett saying he wished he had been traded to Boston sooner. He wish he had been there sooner. He wish he had done more with his career and had more opportunities and had played in Boston instead of being stuck with the Timberwolves, who sucked forever. And Anthony Davis says, I'm not going to lie, it makes you think. And that means that he's now thinking about it. And maybe at some point this coming off season, he looks at the Pelicans and says, guys, I want out.
Tell him to shut up. Why is he being honest?
That's your take,
Come
Rochie.
Come on, Beetle. It's the same way we're talking about.
That's your
earlier.
Take, Rochie.
How do you blame him? Like, if Kevin Garnett says that, you know, and everybody looks at Garnett, and especially if you're a younger player, if you're an Anthony Davis, you see what he's done and see what he won, and, you know, you see the Pierce ceremony and everything else, you're probably sitting there saying at some point, right? Like, that could be me. That could be me. If I stay here another 5-10 years, what do I have left? So do you start to think about, should I force my way into a winning program?
And how much did DeMarcus Cousins' injury play into this, too? Like, he's sitting there and he's watching Cousins and thinking to himself, all right, so we're one injury away. What if I get injured and it's serious next time, and I look back at my career, and when I was as healthy as I could be and I was producing at that top five NBA level, I spent all the time in New Orleans. And maybe that was kind of an epiphany for him, seeing Cousins go down. Maybe he's thinking about it, saying, well, number one, Cousins might not be the same guy now, so are we going to be able to be good without him? Yep. Number two, that's a guy that's still relatively young, was walking into free agency this offseason, and now it's pretty much shot for him. And a lot can change in a matter of seconds, and maybe he's realizing that now after that injury.
He's got two more years after this one on his deal, plus a player option for the following season. So the potential for three more years left on his deal.
How old would he be when he got out of that deal?
That's a good question. I can tell you that if you just give me
28, 29,
one
maybe, or 30.
Second.
But I mean, you know, being around the All-Stars, right?
He would be, no, he would be like 27.
Wow. Yeah, he's
so
like
maybe
20,
he's only 24.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. He's about to turn 25, so he'd be 28. He'd be
prime.
Well within his prime,
yeah,
at the end of that deal, and would still have an opportunity to either, you know, at that point, if he stays with the Pelicans, he'll have his shot before he's 30, a couple of years short of being 30. He'll have a chance to go out and pick his team, or he might ask out sooner. But I also found it interesting that in the same interview, he said that he thought that if DeMarcus Cousins hadn't been hurt, that they could go to the finals together.
Yeah.
And
I don't think so.
I don't buy that.
I don't think that team was that good.
No.
They were like, what? I think they were fighting for like the sixth or seventh seed in the West when they were both healthy.
He was like, we have the bigs, and you know what? If you have the bigs, you can't stop us. We could go all the way to the, like, I don't know about that.
1987.
I'm not sure about that.
But it sounds like he's enjoying himself, though, where he wasn't before Cousins, right? I mean, I think if you're the Pelicans, you have, like you just said, you have 3 years to prove to this guy that we can build a winner around you. And I think that's how I would approach it if I was New Orleans. If I was, you know, president, GM, or owner, I would walk in and sit down with Davis at some point and just say, listen, you know, I understand your frustration. We need to get better. We started to a little bit with Cousins here. It set us back. But be patient with us and see how it goes. I mean, that's what I'd be saying from the New Orleans side. Now, if I'm the you know, again, Davis, you're sitting there saying, well, you know, and maybe he has that conversation with somebody.
Well, don't forget, DeMarcus Cousins, unrestricted free agent,
right,
coming off season.
Maybe he says that to ownership. Maybe his agent says it. You know what I mean? But I would hope the line of communication would open up. And again, we don't see it all the time. But in this situation, you would hope it would open up between the Pelicans and Davis. And then you figure it out after that. If he doesn't want to stay here, doesn't want to be here, wants no part of this, then you figure out a way.
New Orleans is in a very difficult position because the team is going to be good enough to not completely bottom out and get a top three pick. They have to make a decision on Cousins, even if it's a short-term decision. Do you bring him back after he just blew out his Achilles? Is he going to be the same guy with his size? And he's not the most in-shape guy in the world if you've ever seen him play. So with his size and really lack of conditioning for the most part, how is he going to age without the Achilles? Now you've got the Achilles on top of that. So you want to compete to try to sell Davis on the idea of staying there, but realistically, their cap space is pretty tight. And again, they're not going to bottom out and get a top pick. So realistically, is it better for the organization to swallow that bitter pill and say, if we move him with term left on the contract, we're going to get a ton for him. And that would be better for our franchise moving forward, because this is not about the next 2 or 3 years, even though we love Anthony Davis. This is about, can we build a team that's respectable for the next decade?
617-779-0985. And the question is, would he want to come to Boston? Is Boston a situation that he would look at and
yes,
say, that's the place I want to go? I don't know why he wouldn't.
Right. I think you've seen enough now over the last several years of the Ainge and the Stevens, and the conversations around them, and to see what they did, you know, in the last year with the Thomas going goodbye and now coming in with Hayward and that whole route. I think that if he looks at it, and I'm sure the talk around the league too is, remember, these guys talk all the time. The Stevens talk has to be high on that list too, right? Everybody seems to love playing for Brad Stevens. So I think that would all be part of it too and part of the sell. So
well,
I think it would help.
And one major thing that I think some people have overlooked is the relationship between Kyrie and Anthony Davis. They're really close.
Are they?
So, yeah. So we've seen it now in the NBA, right? The Friendship League. I think the Celtics getting Irving made it that much more likely if Davis is moved that he looks at Boston and says, I'd love to play there. And how good is this team with Irving, a healthy Hayward, Horford, and Davis? I mean, and you're going to keep, yeah. I think you keep one of Tatum and Brown. You keep one of those guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know. Oh. Right?
Right?
Oh, they'd be good.
Yes.
They'd be a good team.
Very good.
Yeah, guys you want to keep together. Want to keep that together for a little while. Yeah, they'd be instant contender.
How can they do that for the money, though?
How do they make that all work, though? Yeah, wait a minute. As you start thinking about the salaries, it's a lot of money.
No, you can make it work. You have, well, you can make it work when you have your own players on the roster, right? So
you just have those four, right?
You have to, if you trade
well, the rest
out,
of your roster would have to be really cheap.
No, nobody.
You can go up to a certain point with a tax threshold when you look at, you know, what Golden State has done. You'd move away from Horford in a year or two, right? So the way the contracts match up, Hayward would be coming up. Davis would be coming up like about the same year. Horford would be up the year prior. You'd be dealing, you know, Brown, Smart, who would be re-signed for more money, Marcus Morris, draft picks to match salary. So, and don't forget, Kyrie's a free agent in a couple of years. So the way the contracts are staggered right now, if those guys wanted to compete and stay together, they could do it. They could absolutely do it.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for that. Right. I'm going to take your word on that because it's much more fun that way. Great. They can fit them all under the cap. They can make it work. They can make the salaries work the way it's staggered. And the fact that you'd move on from Horford down the road in a few years. Great. Excellent. Anthony Davis to the Celtics. Get it done. Danny, get it done.
Make it happen.
And you know what? I think the Celtics have been sort of on this thing. We've seen some of those reports. They're monitoring that situation.
Oh, yeah,
they're
sure.
Keeping an eye on that. They're probably clinging to every word that Anthony Davis says publicly and privately working some back channels to see what the deal is there.
Yeah. I mean, if you could think of that team, that is a special team possibly. If you add Davis to the mix, it is a special team. But the only way that they – another thing to tie it all into the Marcus Smart stuff – one of the major reasons why Ainge did not want to deal Marcus Smart unless he was getting great value back is because they can re-sign Smart and use him in a deal. So if they can get Smart up to $10 million a year, now it's easier for the Celtics to make the money match. Because if you don't get Smart up to that money, now you're forced to deal maybe both Brown and Tatum just to make the money work. So Smart's contract is crucial for this team. Not only if they keep him at a good number, because that'd be okay by me, but if they have a chance to pull the trigger on a big deal like Davis or Kawhi Leonard, that Marcus Smart contract is going to play
so
a huge
bottom
role.
Bottom line, what would the trade be just off the top of your head right now?
Yeah, I think you're looking at Smart, who would have to re-sign at, you know, $10, $11 million a year. You're looking at Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, one of those two. I would think it's Brown. I think the Celtics want to hang on to Tatum. So it would be Smart, Brown, probably Marcus Morris to make the money work, and then a bunch of draft picks, and maybe you throw in like Yabusele.
New Orleans said to you, we want Tatum, not Brown.
If it was me, I'd make the deal. I don't think the Celtics would. I don't think the Celtics would give up Smart and Tatum and some of their top picks. All of that, I don't think they'd do that.
All right, so good. We hang up the phone and deal done.
All right, done. 617-779-0985. Easy. We just did it. Yep. We just put the whole team together. We're going to win like eight championships in a row now.
There you go, Danny.
Boom. Done.
Love it. Just
solved.
Execute it, Danny.
Thank
solved.
You, Nick.
Just go out and get that done right now if
I
you
feel
don't
better.
Mind. Will you allow me to take a college basketball diversion for a moment
Ooh.
Or two?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to. And at some point, I have to take a hockey diversion, too.
Oh, okay. We can. You know what? Let's take a couple of diversions.
Okay.
Coming up next, I want to laugh at one former Celtics coach. I think you know who that is. And we'll touch on that along with Roachie's Hockey Point next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
I have to come up with a diversion topic now. Red Sox start playing actual baseball today down in Fort Myers. The Sox play both Northeastern and Boston College. Meanwhile, new acquisition J.D. Martinez had his physical yesterday. The Red Sox still looking over those records. He is reportedly going to hold a press conference today, but if this continues to get delayed, that might not happen. John Heyman reporting earlier today that Martinez has a limited no-trade clause as part of his new deal. Celtics back at practice last night, had a medically cleared Marcus Smart out there. Smart told reporters after the practice that a large piece of glass came very close to hitting a tendon in his hand. If that's what ended up happening, Smart said he would have received season-ending surgery. Celtics back on the floor tomorrow night in Detroit. Finally, Shane Larkin. Kind of unsure what's going to happen with him. He did not practice last night. Another NBA news, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Kawhi Leonard has been medically cleared to return, but so far has decided not to play for the Spurs. Spurs head coach Greg Popovich told reporters yesterday that he'd be surprised if Leonard returned this season. Bruins remain off tonight and tomorrow, continue their five-game road trip in Toronto on Saturday night. Meanwhile, according to Pierre LeBrun, and he knows his stuff, the Bruins remain in the mix for Ryan McDonough, but the price needs to drop. And finally, the USA women's hockey team won their first gold medal in 20 years this morning, beating Canada in a shootout 3-2. Headlines are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Make 2018 the last year weight loss is your New Year's resolution. Lose it fast and for life with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines in about 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Hope you're thinking about a diversion there, Nick. You need one.
Yeah, I'm trying. All right. Thinking of it.
You think about it.
UFC, does that fly? No.
It's a fringe fringe
chance
element.
To talk roadie basketball, Nick. Come on.
Yes.
URI basketball.
You could do that. Hey, if you got a take. I don't have much of a take on this other than this is worth mentioning because I read this last night, and I'm sure that other people had the same reaction that I did when I saw this headline. Rick Pitino maintains innocence amid Louisville scandal. Quote.
Yeah.
This is the quote.
Oh, man.
I've run a clean program all my life. All my life, he says. Saying, I feel awful for what has happened. He said this at his law firm that's representing him in Midtown Manhattan on
through
Wednesday.
Through his lawyer.
at his lawyer's office. He said, I feel awful for what has happened. I've run a clean program all my life. In 40 years of coaching, I have never been involved directly or indirectly in any effort to pay any money or extend any improper benefit to any recruit or recruit's family members or representatives, Pitino said yesterday.
What's that Pinocchio commercial with Geico?
Yeah. He's so full of crap. He is so freaking full of crap.
So do you know why he has to lie? Because he's suing the University of Louisville because they said, obviously, they fired him with cause.
Yep.
Right? Well, because they fired him with cause, they wouldn't be on the hook for the $36 million left on his contract. So he has to tell us that he's run a clean program his entire life, going all the way back to his entire time as a college head coach. He has never at any point been involved in any impermissible benefits to players.
He's an absolute saint, is what Rick Pitino is, Beetle. Absolute saint. He's done nothing wrong.
I think Rick Pitino has a little bit of a credibility problem.
You think?
A little bit. What's he say about the lies? Right? You know, if you continue to lie, it becomes a part of your future versus if you tell the truth, you can put something in the past. I would say that he should probably do that.
I'm just happy he's nowhere near the URI program. That's right.
What is going on? Well, what's your take on URI other than
top 25 team?
They're good.
They barely squeaked by against LaSalle earlier in the week in overtime.
That happens though, right? This time of year, the good teams, good, you know, they're having a good. Well, they're like 21-3 at one.
UMass played them tough a couple weeks back. The week we were at the Super Bowl,
but they go through that hiccup late in the season. Then we'll see what happens at the tournament if they can get on a run.
They run the table. If they run the rest of the season out, which they should, they get to the A-10 tournament. They run through that. They could be a 5 seed. I think they lost the possibility of a 4 seed losing to Bonnies, but they could be a 5 seed, Beetle. Watch out. Dangerous team. 6 guards that can score, baby. Depth on the perimeter. There you go. There's my URI hot take.
How far do you think they can go?
Sweet 16.
Okay.
I mean, they were close.
It'd be a good year, right?
They were close to Sweet 16 last year if they could grab a rebound off a free throw in the tournament. Don't get me started on that. One rebound. They got the rebound off the free throw. They would have won that game.
Where's your coach going to be next year?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody who brought up Louisville. I don't know if that changes because of what's going on there. I don't know. I think a lot is going to have to do with this this FBI probe that's about to come out and see where programs are left.
Oh, I know, right?
I think that's good news for any, you know,
mid-major.
Yeah, any kind of mid-major right. program or a program that's in the top 25 or just on the outside looking in. That could end up being big news because a lot of top programs could be smoked because of that investigation. And if that's the case, I think coaches say, I'll wait it out a couple of years before I jump into that mess. So that could help, but I do think he's gone.
Well, Pete Dammel did have a report going back about a week now. Let me tell you what it says. It says it has been 5 months since the FBI arrested 10 men in a sweeping federal probe in the underbelly of the basketball world. As the three ongoing criminal cases resulting from the investigation plot along, it's increasingly unlikely there will be another wave of double-digit arrests. He says, with more legal charges still could come, but what's becoming increasingly clear as the discovery portion of the case comes to a close is that the potential NCAA rules violations uncovered is wide enough to fundamentally and indelibly alter the sport of college basketball.
Yep. They said that Hall of Fame coaches are likely going to be affected. Top programs, very top programs.
So when all is said and done, what does it look like? When it's all over?
I think it's going to be ugly.
He says, how bad could it be in terms of NCAA rules? Multiple sources told Yahoo Sports that the material obtained threatens the fundamental structure and integrity of the sport, as there's potentially as many as 50 college basketball programs that could end up compromised in some way.
College basketball is one of the most disgusting underworlds in sports. What happens behind closed doors with those major programs, from educational breakdown to illegal activity like we saw at Louisville, all sorts of things. You've got the sneaker company, the AAU guys with the sneaker guys. It is just filth. And
not at Syracuse.
I think what we're going to see, I'm sure. I think what we're going to see.
Not Jimmy.
With this report is it's going to get really ugly for a lot of big names.
I will say this, though. The government is not compelled to release the information, according to Daniel Richmond, a former federal prosecutor in the Southern District of New York who now teaches at Columbia Law. He says sometimes never. He said when asked generally about the timing of the release of information under a protective order, he said the main sources of release will be in the course of pretrial motions and trial, and or as related investigations go overt. So they're not just going to spill it all. You're going to get dribs and drabs. They're not going to say, hey, this is what we found in the investigation. There are coaches who are keeping their fingers crossed that they just like keep some of that on the DL.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to put out a press release and outline everything they found. They're going to have things that come up in the case of this trial through court where other people are named, but we'll see.
Do you think they weigh at all what it would do to college basketball?
No.
What it would just destroy the sport?
No, I don't think they care.
I think this information was leaked to see if some coaches come forward afraid that they're one of the guys. That's why there's no names released. Because I'm waiting for names. This story had no names. Just said, when it happens, there's going to be this, 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 and this. So they kind of trickle that out there to say, well, maybe we can get more coaches involved if some of these people come forward and try to come clean for a lesser penalty.
Yeah, like when you just kind of float this stuff out in the legal world, the court system, as we've seen in the political world lately, you know, sometimes they have these documents that are, you know, the special counsel is releasing these documents to the courts, and they'll say, you know, some known, some unknown people. And that's kind of like a, hey.
Right. Co-conspirator B.
Right.
Like, who's that?
Yeah, if you're out there.
Do you think
know.
These college coaches would come forward?
No, probably not.
I don't think so.
Their egos yes. are way too huge.
Yeah.
Their egos are like John Calipari and stuff, and I don't know if he's going to be linked with this, but I mean, he has top recruited programs every year. If he is a part of it, think about how Coach Cal feels about himself. I mean,
it's too slick.
He doesn't think his
too
crap
slick.
Doesn't stink to him. You know what I mean? He's
too slick.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at Patino. Patino's you know? Very similar, and he's
Patino's an idiot. He's been bagged in all kinds of scandals already.
Oof. Bagged is the right word.
And it's pretty much, that's what it's come down to, though, right?
Right?
That's all you think about. Well, nowadays in college basketball, what do you think about? It's not the
Patino
players.
In the Italian
it's all
restaurant.
About the coaches.
That's all you need to know about, about his ability right. to keep things under the radar. What,
chicken parm was
idiot.
Good.
When I say Duke, what do you think? It's the first thing that comes to mind. It's Krzyzewski, right? When you say UConn, it was Calhoun. That's just what you think of it. Syracuse, Boeheim. It's not the best players there, not necessarily until you start to talk about it, but that's where college basketball is. So, in my mind, I have a
first
hard time
thing I
seeing
think
them
about,
come forward.
First thing I think about when I think about Duke is, what's his name? Corey Maggette. That's who I think about at Duke.
I think of...
Who took cash payments and was on the take at Duke. Like, I'm sure plenty of other kids were on the take at Duke over the years.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, but they're just so clean.
Yes, good academics.
So clean.
They're fine.
I think of Woj slapping the floor every 5 seconds. Remember him?
Yeah. He's the head coach of Marquette. He runs the sidelines like a madman now.
when he's a player, all he used to do is just slap the floor every 5 seconds. And the announcers would be like, oh, he's getting ready to defend. He's scrappy.
All right, Roach, you got a hockey point?
You want to take a break and come back with it?
We'll do it next.
Okay.
Okay.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Where's Mariano Rivera from?
Panama.
There we go, yeah.
Nice.
I like what you did there, Roachy. All right, Roachy, what do you got? You got a hockey take?
A different hockey take. And
is it about the Bruins?
I'm not sure how many people stayed up and watched it or did. I watched the first period and then DVR'd the rest of it and got up at 5 o'clock this morning and watched the rest of the game.
Well, Twitter told me that a lot of people stayed up because
really?
I woke up this morning to a lot of tweets about this game.
Yeah, congrats to the USA women's hockey team beating Canada in a shootout last night to claim the first gold medal for them since 1998. They had lost the last four games. And the pretty cool part about it is there are locals from BC, Emily Falzer, Haley Skarupa, Kayla Barnes, Kaylee Flanagan, and Megan Keller. They're Northeastern's Kendall Coyne. Members of the Boston Pride, Captain Megan Duggan, Brianna Decker, Gigi Marvin, Hillary Knight, Casey Bellamy, and Amanda Pelkey. So it's pretty cool stuff. And I can tell you also, Beto, that the place that I work out at, my daughter works out, my wife and my son, called the Institute of Performance and Fitness.
You guys work out together?
It's just like API out in Arizona?
The whole Roach family goes?
They had six members, Gigi, Megan Duggan, Casey Bellamy, Amanda Pelkey, Brianna Decker, and Haley Skarupa work out at that place. So we'd be working out and we'd see the group of girls from the U.S. Olympic hockey team working out on the other side of the gym.
So they'll be back soon.
Yeah.
Right?
So it was cool.
You'll be able to congratulate them in person.
Yes. So if you want to go there, Walter Norton, remember the old trainer for the strength and fitness coach for the Celtics during the Garnett years? He's the guy who runs it. So him and Jamie Damon, who's cousins with Matt Damon, the star. Wow. Yep. The Damon family.
Just realized that this take is Roachy name dropping.
I was going to say, there's a lot of names being dropped right now.
Yeah.
Paige and Kyle and Liz and everybody else there.
Boy.
So, little shout out.
What's your thought on the game itself?
I thought it was awesome.
Reaction was that it was an incredible game.
I watched every single game the U.S. played, going back to the preliminary round. And it's clear that Canada and the United States are by far the two best teams. Finland's good, but they play like a trap game. So it's not what you want to see. But they've gone toe-to-toe. They lost. The U.S. lost 2-1 the first time they played. But they outshot them, 2-1, and I thought they were the better team, the more physical team. But I thought last night it was back and forth. Canada was tough, and this girl Poulin, who beat them single-handedly for the last gold medal, tied the game late, and then won it in overtime for Canada. She looked like she was going to win the game for them again. They would go ahead 2-1, but the U.S. battled back. She took out Megan Keller in front of the net with an elbow that wasn't called. So it was a lot of back and forth, and then the shootout. I'm not a fan of these shootouts, but there were some great moves, and it was just fun to watch. It was good to see, and back and forth, edge of your seat type of entertainment, and it was fun to watch. It's a great hockey game. It was cool. I was very happy with it. I was very proud of it. That was nice. How's that? That's what I like about sports. Isn't that the great stuff that you want?
Yeah, here's my, can I complain about it now?
Yes, absolutely.
Why was it on that late?
This is why you guys do what you do.
Why was that game on at that time?
I have no idea. None.
For the spectators in South
Especially
Korea?
Because it's North America.
Like, you've got U.S. Canada. And Canada. Yes. Can we put it on at a time? And that would be better for the U.S. and Canada to maybe watch it?
Right. I totally agree with you. You just back a few hours, right? Because they're 14 hours difference ahead. So what is that? At 11 o'clock here last night is, what, 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Make it a 10 a.m. game.
Yeah.
Back there in...
Just annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, even make it a... If you want to make it a little bit later, it doesn't have to be at 8 p.m. Let's start it at 10 p.m. Let's start at 9 p.m.
I know, because I kept looking. And,
like 11 a.m. there.
Yes, 11:10. I'm like, come on. That's why I watched the first period and DVR'd it.
Did you watch any of the other Olympics last night? Did you see catch any of not the snowboard half pipe, but the ski half pipe?
I did see some of that, yes.
Some major wipeouts in that
one. Yeah.
Major wipeouts.
I don't know how these people survive training for these sports.
Dan, you got a thought on Lipinski and Weir? Because they are spectacular, man. Two of the best sports commentators out there.
No. I sent sarcasm? So.
No! I'm not being sarcastic. I've been all over this Olympics. They're excellent at what they do. Excellent. And they have bedazzled headsets. As we noticed the other night.
There you go.
They bedazzled their headsets.
That's next level.
I think that we should start doing that here.
Yeah.
Start bedazzling our headsets. You know, go to Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you look different.
We'd set ourselves apart.
Stand out.
Like they have. They've set themselves apart.
But the other thing, can I just have another? I'll complain a little bit. I didn't like the form. I didn't like the men's side of things this year on the Olympic hockey. You know, I either want the NHLers in, the best in the world, find time for that. Or I want to go back to like U18 or U21, something along those lines. You watch the World Juniors, and it's amazing hockey. Like all the stars that are in the NHL today, Connor McDavid, all the way through McAvoy, they're all playing in the U.S. Juniors. It's the best tournament to watch right around Christmas time. I either want that or I want all the NHLers. No disrespect to the Brian Giontas of the world and everything else, but I felt like the U.S. team was just like, okay, this guy's not able to play in the NHL anymore. This guy plays in the AHL, had a few games in the end. I want the best playing against each other, and that's what we didn't have in the men's side this year.
Got a couple of calls here. Let's go to Mike in Boston. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Rochie, I got two quick questions. I just thought of another one. One, do you think the colleges like UMass and Louisville, who've gotten their seasons taken away, should they still keep the banners up because UMass does? And what was more disappointing, not being able to go to spring training or going to Disney World and the Haunted Mansion being closed?
Going to Disney World in 3 weeks. Looking forward to that.
Are you?
Yeah, Nick.
Nice.
Huh? That's my daughter's college trip. They have one day off. Where are we going? We're starting at Epcot. Going to go. Already got the fast passes for Test Track. And then we're going to go to Soarin'. And then we're hitting the Kingdom. Three parks in one day.
The Kingdom.
The Kingdom.
We're hitting the Kingdom.
Well, 3 weeks from tomorrow, I'll be at the Riviera Maya, Mexico Hard Rock Resort. Little all-inclusive package,
there any Rochi. Rides?
No.
Yeah, so.
But there's music and there's drinks, so there's that.
That's not the Kingdom.
No rides.
There's plenty of music and drinks. Small world.
Not a ride.
Lemonade.
Not a ride guy, Rochi. Oh. Not a ride guy.
No, I'm not really that much too, but I like certain ones. Test Track's awesome. Soarin's tremendous.
Mexico.
The new coaster in the Magic Kingdom's
great.
Right?
What the hell was that?
Mexico.
And what do you guys think? Do you think they should have the banners up at these places?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to take down the banners. It happened.
Right.
No one is going to say that the other team won. I think Tom Morgan, T-Bone as we like to call him, had the best line about this.
T-Bone.
That you can't unsee Kevin Ware breaking his leg in half that year.
Yeah,
that's true.
That definitely happened.
Yeah, right. Reggie Bush won the Heisman. Yes, UMass was in the Final Four. Yes, Louisville did win it all in 2013. The joke being made about Rick Pitino should get rid of the tattoo. Nope. No, he shouldn't. They won it all. They still won. It still happened. They still played those games. No, I don't think they should take him down. What do you think, Roach?
I agree. You know, because, like you said, like it or not, it happened.
Vacating appearances has always seemed silly to me. Quickly, let's go to Kevin and Averill on the Bruins. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
So, with the trade deadline coming up with the Bees right now, and we're starting to really see them, like, putting it together, and they're winning games that, I mean, we think they shouldn't win, like Edmonton the other day, down 2-0, come back. And they have a lot of young prospects, and I feel like over the last few years, they've kind of been reluctant to trade those guys away. But do you think that this team right now has, like, a legitimate opportunity to push for a cup and maybe should go down to Providence and give away some of those prospects?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they should. I think they should. And listen, that doesn't mean do a deal just for the sake of doing a deal. Because you feel like, oh, we got to make the push, so we have to do a deal. No, if there's a deal that requires you to give up one of those guys, you should be willing to do it.
Yeah, Cam Neely was good on that last week when the 77-78 team was here. He was asked a bunch of questions about that. And I remember Cam Neely in tears after the trade deadline when the Bruins didn't add. You know what I mean? When they could have added. And he was begging Harry Sinden in the front office, just add a player or two. They're not in that situation right now. They're in the situation where they can, you know, assess and say, okay, if we do this piece, and this piece, can we get a Rick Nash or what have you? To me, absolutely. Anytime you're in that situation where you look like you have a chance at a cup or even close, go for it. Go for it. Why not, right? Because I don't think they would kill their franchise by doing what they're doing because they have a plethora of prospects down in Providence.
Noontime hour. Coming up in 90 seconds, Cattles has you covered on headlines. And why don't we jump back to the latest with the Red Sox. Alex Cora spoke today.
Ooh, good stuff from Cora today. AC.
Excellent. Woo! Excellent stuff from Alex Cora.
AC.
And the latest, if there is an update on the contract of JD Martinez and the medicals still not being sorted out. We'll get to that coming up next.